Thailand e Swami
Prabhupada.
Yagya Sheshta Ashinaha Santaha Mucchante Sarava Kilbishaihi Bhunjate Te Tu Agham Papai Papaha Ye Pachanti Atma Karanat. Put this, madam. Yagya Shishta Shina Santo.
Yagya Shishta Shina Santo.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Kunjate Tate Hagang Papa.
Kunjate Tate Hagang Papa.
Ye Pachantyatma Karanat.
Ye Pachantyatma Karanat.
Yagya Shishta Shina Santo.
Yagya Shishta Shina Santo.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Mucchante te twaghang papa.
Mucchante te twaghang papa.
Ye pachanti atma karanat.
Ye pachanti atma karanat.
Yagya shishta sinah santo.
Yagya shishta sinah santo.
Mucchante sarva
kilvishai. Mucchante sarva kilvishai.
Mucchante te twaghang papa.
Mucchante te twaghang papa. Ye Pachantyatma Karanat.
Yagya Shishta Sina Santo.
Yagya Shishta Sina Santo.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Uchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Uchate Te Twagam Papa.
Uchate Te Twagam Papa.
Ye Pachantyatma Karanat.
Ye Pachantyatma Karanat. Yagya Shishta Sina Santo. Mucchante Sarva Kilvishai.
Mucchante
Twagam Papa.
Ye
Pachantyatma Karanat. Yagya Shishta Sina Santo. Mucchante Sarva Kilvishai. Mucchate te twagam papa.
Ye
pachantyatma karanat.
Yagya shishta sina santo.
Yagya shishta sina santo. Mucchante sarva kilvishai. Mucchate te twagam papa.
Ye
pachantyatma karanat. Yagya Shishta.
Yagya Shishta.
Yahati Midi.
Ashinaha.
Ashinaha.
Unbo.
Santaha.
Santaha.
Bhaktarhad.
Bhaktarhad.
Uchante.
Uchante.
Gudubrigidhar.
Sarva.
Sarva.
Yella Vidhamana.
Yella Vidhamana.
Kilvishai.
Kilvishai.
Baba Madhidhate.
Baba Madhidhate.
Bhunjate.
Bhunjate.
Anubhavi Paradana.
Anubhavi Paradana.
Te.
Te.
Avathad.
Avathad.
Tu.
Tu.
Ahan.
Ahan.
Agham.
Agham.
Kodiya Pavangal.
Kodiya Pavangal.
Papaha.
Papaha.
Pavihalana.
Pavihalana.
Ye.
Ye.
Avathad.
Avathad.
Pachanti.
Pachanti.
Unavi Tayarikavad.
Unavi Tayarikavad.
Atma Karanat.
Atma Karanat.
Pulalingvathikaga. Pulalingvathikaga. Puravi Devatra, as a Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.
Ichai.
Pulalingvathikaga. Yahathikaga Ndiri Padaikapatta Unavai, Unmada, Bhaktargal, Ellavidhamana Paavangalil Irundhu Mudupadikkindargal. Sriya Pulalingvathikaga Unavu Thayarikkiravargalo, Paavathaiye Undidargal. Pulalingvathikaga. கிருஷ்ண மலர்வு பெற்றோர் அல்லது பரமபுருஷனின் பக்தர்கள் பிரம்மஸ்மிருதியில் கூறப்பட்டிருப்பதைப் போல எப்பொழுதும் இறைவன் மீது காதல் கொண்டவர்களாக சந்தஸ்களாக இருக்கிறார்கள். ప్రేమాంజన శుద్ధ భక్తి లోచనైన సంతసృదయ శుభలోకయండి. పరమపురుషుడన్ కాదు పండవరాజ சந்திரகள் கோவிந்தரின் விழா இன்னொன்றையும் தருபவர். அவர் முகுந்தன் வீடு வேறுபவர் அல்லது ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணருடைய கவச்சரமானவர் எனும் இறைவனுக்கு அழிக்காமல் எதையுமே அடைய விரும்பப்பட மாட்டார்கள். எனவே இத்தகைய பக்தர்கள் எப்பொழுதும் சிரவணம் கீர்த்தனம் சுமரணம் அர்ச்சனம் போன்ற பக்தி நிலையை தியாகங்களை செய்கின்றார்கள். ஜட உலகின் எல்லா விதமான பாவ தொடர்புடைய கலந்துகளிலிருந்தும் இந்த யாகங்கள் அவர்களை காப்பாற்றுகின்றன. தமக்காக அது வெறும் குழந்தைக்காக உணவு தயாரிக்கும் மற்றவர்களோ திருடர்கள் மட்டுமல்ல பாவத்தை உண்பவர்களுமாக மாறுகின்றார்கள். பாவமுக்கு திருடன் ஒருவர் எப்படி மகிழ்ச்சி அடைய முடியும்? இது சாத்தியமில்லை. எனவே எல்லா விதத்திலும் மகிழ்ச்சி அடைய வேண்டுமானால் பூரண கிருஷ்ண உணர்வோடு சங்கீர்த்த எங்கிலும் செய்யும் எளிய முறையில் மக்களுக்கு பயிற்சி கொடுக்கப்பட வேண்டும். இல்லையில் உலகம் சமாதானமாகவோ இன்பமாகவோ இருக்கவே முடியாது.
Tomorrow is Christmas Day.
நாளை கிறிஸ்துமஸ் தினமாகும்.
It's a very big festival in the Western world.
மேற்கத்திய நாடுகளில் இதற்காக மிகப்பெரிய ஒரு விழா இருக்கும்.
Just like here, Pongal, I think, is the biggest festival in Tamil Nadu.
நம்முடைய தமிழகத்தில் பொங்கல் மிக பிரதானமான விழாவாகும்.
So it's, I suppose it's something like that, or like Diwali in North India. There's people like, you know, just
Diwali in India is a pralamana vrava.
So although I was raised in the Western world, I'd completely forgotten anything about Christmas until my stepbrother sent Christmas greetings from my father, my physical father.
எனக்கு இப்பொழுது கூட என்னுடைய தந்தையிலிருந்து என்னுடைய மற்றொரு சகோதரர் எனக்கு கிறிஸ்துமஸ் கிரீட்டிங்ஸ் அனுப்பியுள்ளார்.
So then I remembered, oh, it's Christmas tomorrow.
தான் எனக்கு ஞாபகம் வருகிறது, நாளைக்கு கிறிஸ்துமஸ் தந்தை.
So that's supposed to be the birthday of Jesus, although they don't know actually when it was, and they think they know pretty much that it wasn't on that day, and it wasn't 2007 years ago. That they know, but they don't know when it was exactly.
உண்மையில் கிறிஸ்தவர்களுக்கு இயேசு கிறிஸ்துவை பிறந்ததனமாக கருதப்படுகிறது. உண்மையில் 2007 வருடங்களுக்கு முன்பு ஒரு பிறந்தார் என்பதை அவர்கள் உறுதியாக கூறுகின்றார்கள். ஆனால் உண்மையில் எது பிறந்தார் என்பதை அவர்கள் இதுவரை உறுதியாக கூற முடியவில்லை.
So anyway, a major part of the celebration of Christmas is some imaginary person called Santa Claus.
ஆனால் உண்மையில் இந்த கிறிஸ்துவ மதத்தின் இந்த கிறிஸ்துமஸ் விழாவின் முக்கியமான விஷயம்
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is going to appear.
There's some mythological figure called Santa Claus who comes down your chimney. Although people don't have chimneys nowadays, they used to have in the Western world. Chimney means you burn the coal in a fire and the smoke goes up through a pipe.
Yeah, chimney.
Yeah, they use that in the brickworks still. So and then he comes down the chimney and gives you all presents, gifts. That's the idea.
உண்மையில் இது கற்பனையான ஒரு நபராவார். மக்கள் இவ்வாறு நம்புகிறார்கள், நம்முடைய வீட்டில் உள்ள புகை அடுப்புகளின் மூலமாக அவர் மேலிருந்து கீழே இறங்கி வந்து நமக்கு பரிசு கொடுப்பதாக.
It's got nothing to do with Christianity. It's all actually adopted from a pre-Christian, what they call pagan tradition.
உண்மையில் இருக்கும் கிறிஸ்துமஸ் மேலிருக்கும் எந்த விதமான சம்பந்தமும் இல்லை. இது அதுக்கு முந்தைய மேற்கிட்டை பார்த்தார்கள் ஒரு பொருளிலிருந்து வந்த கற்பனை கதையாகும்.
Anyway, the figure of Santa Claus, he has big red clothing and a big white beard and should usually be a little fatty. So in the big department stores, they dress men up like this to attract children to come, and then customers come like this. So you'll find people dressed up like this mythological figure called Santa Claus.
In the கற்பனையான சந்தர் கிளாஸ் இந்த உருவத்தை இப்பொழுது கூட மக்கள் சாதாரண மக்களை கவர்வதற்காக மிகப்பெரிய கடைகளில் ஒரு வயதான தாத்தாவை சிவப்பு துணியிலும் மிக கனமான ஒரு உருவம் செய்து மக்களை கவர்வதை நாம் காண்கின்றோம்.
So yesterday I was talking about, was it yesterday or the day before, I was talking about the difficulties that devotees go through to distribute books in the Western countries. You can hardly imagine how difficult it is.
இரண்டு மூன்று தினங்களுக்கு முன்பு நாம் விவாதம் செய்தோம், மேற்கத்திய நாடுகளில் எந்த அளவுக்கு கடினமான முறையில்
One other thing I didn't mention is that apart from everything else, it's very cold there. Devotees go out all day. In this season, sometimes they'll go out 24 hours, you know, like for a few days on end. Some devotees do that. Not nowadays so much. Extremely cold. In Tamil Nadu, you don't know what cold means. It's a word in that you use, but you don't know what actually what it means. This morning was cold, right? When you all got up, 3:30 in the morning, it was cold. In the West, in England, if it was this temperature, people would think, oh, it's so warm. At this time of year, it could not be as warm as this, day or night. So devotees go through many difficulties to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And they found that in this season, if the devotees dress as Santa Claus, it's very good to help them distribute books. So that became a point of controversy among devotees. Should we do this or not? Is it really proper for devotees to dress as Santa Claus to distribute Prabhupada's books? Well, one thing we can understand is that, well, there's kind of innovative ways of preaching in difficult circumstances. In a culture which is completely different to Vedic culture, how to present Krishna consciousness? Sometimes we may make some adjustments to the culture without adjusting the essence of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, many years ago I was discussing this point with a godbrother of mine. Is it bona fide for devotees to dress like Santa? And he quoted this purport, that the devotees of the Supreme Lord or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called Santas. And he was convinced that, you know, this is praman, this is complete evidence that devotees, they are santas, so they can dress as santa. Now, it's interesting that word Santa, or maybe that's Latin, but the English word is saint. It appears to be derived from this Sanskrit word Santa. Which is Santa is a synonym for sadhu. In North India, it's a commonly used word. They sadhu and sant is interchangeable. In Gujarati also, must be also. Sant, sadhu means the same thing. Sant is a bit big, sadhu, is it? higher level sadhu. Sadhu, that means all, you know, all the bidi smoking sadhus also. But sant means a bit higher, like this Nirasara. They call him sant rascal. This is an example of misunderstanding of how to apply Shastra. We are following Bhagavad Gita as it is. But even though everything is presented very clearly, we have to have very clear intelligence how to understand it also. To someone it might seem that this is complete evidence that devotees, they can dress as Santa Claus. I'm not necessarily against that, but because distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is so important that practically you can do anything. To distribute them. But to cite this as evidence is a misuse, because here Santa is simply simply quoting the Sanskrit word, and Prabhupada's intention has nothing to do with Santa Claus. There is actually a whole science of how to understand Shastra. There's a whole complex system of linguistic analysis. That is in the Vedic system, that is generated by the Mimamsa school. Mimamsa means very discerning analysis. Because words convey ideas. But often words have more than one meaning. So one has to understand which meaning is intended in a particular place. Or sometimes a poet can write in such a way that the word has more than one meaning and it can be understood. It's deliberately written like that. Apparently there is some Sanskrit poem which you can read it either to be the story of the Pandavas or the story of the Ramayana, depending which way you take it. This also gives rise to punning. Punning means playing on words. In every language it's there. There's an example. This is a source of much joking and fun. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there is a description that Krishna once knocked at the door of Radharani. And there was some discussion that, who are you? And Krishna said, I am he whose vasam is in you. So vasa can mean desire or scent or residence. It has different meanings. So Srimati Radharani answered that, well, my residence is here, nothing to do with you. So then Krishna replied that, no, I've just come that to relish the scent of your body. And like this, this went on like this. In Bhagavad Gita also, we find at the beginning the word apariyaptam comes. So pariyaptam can mean limited and also unlimited. It can mean both ways. So Duryodhana's army, he's pointing it out, this apariyaptam, that my soldiers are unlimited. So that seems to be the straightforward meaning. Because Duryodhana's soldiers were many more than those of Yudhishthira Maharaj. But some acharyas take it the other way, that they're limited, because my soldiers are limited. Because the unlimited Supreme Lord was on the Yudhishthira Maharaj's party. And Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana, that victory must be with the Panduputra, the Pandavas, because Krishna is on their side. This very name Janadan, just quoted, it can mean who is the maintainer of the people, the maintainer of his devotees, or it can mean also the destroyer. So it means the maintainer of the devotees and the destroyer of the demons. It means both things. So understanding Shastra, it's not such an easy thing. The language itself is can be quite complex. And words are used differently in different contexts. Just like in bhakti, we deride the paths of karma and jnana. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamad karma dhyanavritam. Pure devotional service is described as being free from any desire and not covered by karma or jnana. So karma means here, it means the idea of working in this world so as to enjoy it. And jnana in this context means the jnana marga, or the path of cultivating knowledge to negate one's existence in this material world. So in bhakti we have nothing to do with karma or jnana. Karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala bishera bhanda, amrita boliya jeba khai, Nana joni shada fire kadarja bhakhanna kare tara janma adha pate jai. This Narottam Das Thakur says that karma kanda and jnana kanda, they are simply pots of poison. But persons who eat from those pots, they think it is nectar. But as a result of drinking from the pots of poison that are karmakanda and jnanakanda, they have to rotate in different species of life. And they end up eating all kinds of horrible things. Just like the pigs eat stool and the crows eat garbage. Or figuratively also, they eat horrible things, means they engage in all kinds of horrible things. And eventually they have to go down and down and down in this different species of life. So in bhakti, karma and jnana are rejected. But if we examine what is bhakti, there's only karma and jnana. Means to hear about and learn about Krishna and to act for Krishna's pleasure. Of course, in bhakti, it's not working or learning in a materialistic way. That karma and jnana is imbued with feeling for Krishna, that is bhava. So in bhakti, the bhava, that is the main feature.
Bhakti,
even if one is not able to do physically any activities for Krishna, if one has the desire to do so, that is also glorious. Arjuna is a great hero. He performed so many great activities in the service of Krishna. Hanuman is another, Veer Hanuman, Hero Hanuman. He performed amazing activities in the service of Lord Rama. But we know the story that all the monkeys were coming and throwing big rocks in the ocean to make the Setu Bandha, and some squirrel came and was pushing sand, and Lord Ram appreciated the effort of the squirrel just as much. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, there is narrated about one Brahmana who was very poor, but he was full of bhakti. So he had no means to worship the Lord very gorgeously. But daily he would do manasa seva. Within his mind he would. You can say, imagine that he was serving the Lord. So even if you have nothing, even if you don't have one naya paisa to your name, If in Manasa Seva you can worship the Lord in a golden temple much better than this golden temple this fraud has built. And you can offer all the best foods, everything, very highest opulence. So daily this Brahmana, he would perform this Manasa Seva, all doing very elaborate worship for the Lord. So one day in his meditation, it was, you could say, just like real. Actually it is real, but he had cooked some kheer, this milk with rice and sugar. But it was very hot. And he's thinking, maybe it's too hot to offer to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's tongue will be burned. He was so absorbed in his service, he was thinking like this. So in his meditation, he put his finger to test what is the temperature. And he felt immediately, oh, my finger is burned. It was like a shock. Oh! Then he came out of his meditation, he saw, actually my finger's burned. So meantime, in Vaikuntha Dham, Lord Narayana was laughing to himself. And Lakshmi Devi asked, then, why are you laughing all of a sudden? And he said, you see my devotee, he's so absorbed in love for me, and now he's found his finger is actually burned. Just see the fun. So that time then he sent his Vishnu Dutas, his representatives, to bring that Brahmana to Vaikuntha on a Vaikuntha airplane. So there was the Brahmana, there was no actual karma that he was doing. But he had the attitude, the bhav, I want to serve the Lord. And Krishna appreciated that. He is known as Bhavagrahi, one who accepts the attitude. Murkho vadati Vishnaya, Vigya vadati Vishnave, Ubhya tat samampunyam Bhavagrahi Janadana. This means that someone who doesn't know Sanskrit, who's a fool, one who doesn't know Sanskrit is considered a fool. In that sense, we are all fools. So he says, Vishnaya. So that means when we are offering something to someone, we say, Aya, Krishnaya. Just like we say, Om Keshavaya Namaha. When we are applying Tilak, first is Om Keshavaya Namaha. Then next one is Om Narayana. Then Madhavaya. Then?
Madhavaya.
Then?
Vishnu.
Not Vishnaya.
Vishnaya.
Should be Vishnaya, shouldn't it?
Vishnaya.
But it's an unusual... Actually, according to the system, you would think it would be Vishnaya. But it's a special case, for some reason, it's Vishnave. So, someone who doesn't know this rule, they will say, Vishnaya, Om Vishnaya Namaha. But someone who knows the proper grammar, he will say, Vishnave Namaha. But both get the same result. Because Krishna accepts the attitude. So if one actually has bhakti, then Krishna accepts that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Sri Rangam, he saw one Brahmana is holding a copy of Bhagavad Gita and reciting that.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mudalmurai Sri Rangathukku Vandha Nerathil, Angu Oru Brahmana Thannai Kaiyil Bhagavad Gita Enum Paarkkarai Paarthar.
But while he was reciting, he was reading and crying.
And the Bhagavad Gita and the Brahmana.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that he saw him, he said, oh, then why are you crying? So the Brahmana replied that, well, my guru told me to read Bhagavad Gita every day.
And the Brahmana Padilitan,
actually I can't read very well. And you know, for a Brahmana not to be able to read well, that's a great disgrace. They should not they have such memory, they don't need to read. They'll hear the mantra, they immediately remember it all. Sometimes we think, oh, this devotee, very learned, knows so many shlokas. But previously, Shastra was not even written down. There was no need to, because the people, they would hear it and remember. So this Brahmana, it seemed that he was born in Brahmana caste, but maybe materially his brain power wasn't so good. This is how Prabhupada narrated this. So he said, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, then why are you crying? He said, well, I don't know how to recite Gita very well, but I'm simply thinking how Krishna, the Supreme Lord of everything that be, has become so much ingratiated to his devotee Arjuna that he has agreed to become his servant, his chariot driver.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Brahman Badrita, and Ulmay Nan Edaka Alindaganda, Bahan Sri Krishna, and the Bakhtan Miri Indra and Buddha, out of the Bakhtan Daka, Sadarama Thiru Kyaka, in the very Sri Ram Paki.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that Brahman.
Wouldn't Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Brahman Alindam Sadar?
He said, you have actually understood the purpose of Bhagavad Gita.
Kurina, Ulmay Bhagavati in Sadam Sate, he can be Bhagavatu Tayyan.
So he may say, well, how is that possible? He can hardly understand, then how can he analyze all the different shlokas? Well, even if you don't understand all the different subtleties, if one understands the essence, then that's enough, isn't it? Just like if you know how to drive a car, you don't have to know how it functions. You don't have to know what is a chassis and a drive shaft and an axle and a carburetor and a radiator. You don't have to know what all these things are. Of course, you should know something. You should know that you have to put petrol in it from time to time. So there's some basic things. But it's not required that everyone be a mechanic to drive a car. Of course, some people are required to be mechanics, because if there are no mechanics, then when the car broke down, then no one could repair it. So someone should know all these things. So same thing in bhakti yoga. Some devotees, they should be learned in shastra. And everyone should know some basic things. Those who are learned in shastra, they can give the proper guidance how to do all the different activities. But the essence of bhakti is not simply to know many things, but to love Krishna. So one may be very learned or not very learned, but to love Krishna, that is the essence. Just maybe 2 days ago, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada called Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, he passed away. You must have seen him when you visited Vrindavan. Yeah. Very sweet devotee. When he was a middle-aged man, about more than 30 years ago, he came and Bengali man from, he had a small business near Calcutta. Probably had a small shop, something like this. He came and said, I want to join. So he dedicated his whole life in the service of the deities. He would cook all day long. He would cook for the deities. All day, every day. He didn't attend any classes. And he didn't even chant his rounds. Devotees told Prabhupada, he's not chanting his rounds, he's just cooking non-stop. But he would sing the names of Krishna very sweetly, non-stop, as he was cooking. Prabhupada said, well, for him there's no need to chant rounds. So, and Prabhupada told him, you don't ever go outside this compound, you stay inside. So that's also a kind of austerity, because it's not a very big compound. Now they got that land at the back, but at that time it was just the temple and the guest house and the Gurukul. That's maybe, you know, maybe four, maybe five times the size of this plot here. So he never went outside. Except once, maybe about 2 years ago, he was very sick and the devotees, they pressured him to go and to some hospital outside. And then he came back and he said, whatever happens, you don't ever take me outside. I'm staying right here. So he wasn't a great scholar. But he had full devotion to Krishna. And he was dedicated to Prabhupada's order, even though it's you know, it's an austere thing. Never go outside. He never visited, at least after joining ISKCON, he never went to Govardhan or different temples or anything. It was only the... But he was a real santa. Because he was obviously experiencing Krishna consciousness. Very sweet, always smiling and happy. So this should be understood. Bhakti is the supreme karma, it is the supreme jnana, and it is the supreme bhava. But the essence is that feeling for Krishna. That's not to be imitated as some people do. But that is developed by associating with devotees and by hearing about the great devotees. Just like we're hearing in the morning in Bhagavatam now, we're reading about Bhishma Dev's ecstatic loving feelings for Lord Krishna. So I didn't touch the subject matter of the verse, but I was elaborating on this point in the purport that devotees are called santas. So in the Western countries they say Happy Christmas. Unfortunately, Christmas Day is an unhappy day for the birds called turkeys, which is like a very big chicken. They kill turkeys. They eat turkeys. Turkey is like a chicken, but this size. It looks like a chicken, but very big. So they have a happy Christmas by killing so many
birds.
But devotees have a really happy Christmas because they distribute so many of Prabhupada's books. And actually devotees are, it's not just one day, but devotees are always happy. Every day in Krishna consciousness is a festival.
Yes.
From early morning, devotees are dancing and singing. What do people do at a festival? They sing and they dance. So we do that every day. I know when I first came to the temple at Bhaktivedanta Manor near London, I first came there, and by Krishna's arrangement, I was forced to stay overnight. So it was very cold, there was snow outside. Yeah, in Tamil Nadu, snow is something you heard about, maybe you saw it on TV. It's like that stuff which forms on the inside of the fridge when you don't defrost it. It's everywhere. All the fields, all the houses, everything is white, covered with that. So they didn't have any money in those days, so there was no heating. So you can imagine it's very cold inside the building also. So they got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which was unimaginable for me. And then a cold shower, which was even more unimaginable. And I wondered what's going on here. Anyway, it's a good way to wake up. And then we had this arati service at 4:30 in the morning. And singing so beautifully. Sometimes in those days, devotees, they used to sing this tune, but with some elaboration. Rande Goro Sri Charanaravinda, something like that. Very beautiful. I remember even now. And I remember that my old friend, Jananand Prabhu, who just recently took sannyas, he was dancing so blissfully. Did he come here? No, he came to Salem maybe 3 years ago. Jananda Goswami, same name. And he's still dancing and singing. He goes on Harinam with almost every day. So I knew this is bona fide, this is real. These devotees, I mean, you can't do this every day with this rising early in the morning in the cold and dancing and singing unless you're really experiencing
something.
So every day in Krishna consciousness is a festival. Kevala Ananda Kanda. This we were talking before about Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. This is Kevala Ananda Kanda. Bhakti is simply bliss. Bhakti that is that is the manifestation of Krishna's Haladini Shakti. Haladini means that which gives rise to Ananda, bliss. So the essence of bhakti is this Haladini, which is Radharani. Krishna takes pleasure in Radha. Because she takes pleasure in serving him. She is the topmost devotee because she serves him in the best way. We were discussing this morning how devotees, they are servants, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Last night and this morning also. Midday, we were discussing. So actually in Vrindavan, everyone knows that the only one who can really please Krishna is Radharani. Krishna left the Ras Leela. And he himself expressed that without Radharani, even the Ras Leela seems, with all the gopis together, without her it seems not enjoyable to me. So Gauriya Vaishnav, you see the Vaishnav, we have this word, Vaishnav, it means servant of Vishnu or worshipper of Vishnu. So that's a general term. Vaishnav means devotee of Krishna, Rama, Narayana, Varaha, Kurma, all these different forms. These are all different forms of Vishnu. So there's another term, Karshna, which means devotee of Krishna or family member of Krishna. There's another term, Gauriya, which means worshipper of Srimati Radharani. Because they know that if she is satisfied, she is doing everything to satisfy Krishna, and Krishna does everything to satisfy her. So the whole aim of a devotee is to satisfy Krishna. But Krishna is more satisfied if Radha is satisfied. So we try to satisfy Radha. But then she is more satisfied if Krishna is satisfied. So she engages us in the service of Krishna. And being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, we go through the parampara system and we serve our guru, he serves his guru, he serves his guru, and like this the service is going up, 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 up to Radharani, who is the only really fit one to serve Krishna directly, and she serves Krishna. So everyone is cooperating to help Radha serve Krishna. Not really help, she's fully competent to satisfy Krishna by herself. But she mercifully gives us the opportunity to do something to assist. So this is a very deep understanding. It certainly goes a lot deeper than the idea of Santa Claus. How I will get something for my sense enjoyment, some gift. So that's why I forgot about Christmas, because what's the meaning? We're interested in serving Krishna. It's not really a Christian festival even, because Jesus wasn't born on this day. So, Hare Krishna. Jesus is a devotee of Krishna. But they don't understand that, unfortunately. So, any question? By the way, there's evidence that Jesus, he was actually in India. He came to India. In the Bible, there's not one single word what he was doing between the age of 12 and 30. But there is evidence. I have one book that some scholar has made that Jesus lived in India. He was in India during that time. And then even after the, you know, he was crucified and he again came. Actually, he never died, but then he came to India. So, any question?
He is saying, how we are saying, Lord Jesus has not taken birth in 25th December, Christmas Day.
That's, you are, any scholar of Christianity knows that, that this used to be a pre-Christ, you see, in Europe, before Christianity came, there was what they call paganism. It's a kind of, it's like low, like tantric or low class demigod worship, something like that. So there was a major festival. And it was very difficult to stop the people celebrating that, so they just turned it into a Christian festival. They don't know when Jesus was born. Maybe he was born on 25th December. There's one in 365 chances that he was actually born on this day. Many of the things they adopted from the what they call the heathen culture. Most of what goes on in Christianity, there's actually nothing from the Bible about it. Anyway, we're concerned with Krishna. Jesus, he was also concerned with Krishna, but they didn't understand. They mistook him to be God, which he never said himself. He's not a fact. He's not Bhagavan directly. They have a very strange idea that he is God and he died for 3 days. God died for 3 days. How is that? And someone can kill God? It's practically, it's atheism. Prabhupada explained that actually he never died. A yogi, you cannot kill a yogi. Someone who has got yoga siddhi or yoga shakti, you can't kill them. So they maintain the life within the prana. So they may appear to be dead, but they can get up and walk again. So he had yoga siddhi. There's a description of how once he walked over the water to some boat. That's a common yoga siddhi. There are so many yogis in India who can walk on water. It's not such a difficult, I mean, it's for those who have yoga siddhi, it's a normal thing to do. Several times devotees saw also Prabhupada that he was moving but not touching the ground, walking but not touching the ground. But That doesn't mean you're God. Okay, then we'll finish. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, please take some prasad. Yeah, please come.